Hi guys, we're getting ready to start the radio show. I hope you join us. It should be an interesting one. And I'm looking forward to it. Meanwhile, it's a beautiful sunny day in Miami. Wish you could also enjoy it. And Bobby wants to say hello.
And Bobby says hello. And it seems we're having a little bit of a technical network issue. So I don't know.
We might not get to see the guest, but we're hoping we do.
That's the idea. But anyway, it's going to be an interesting guest, an artist, so we'll be better if we see him, because he paints.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my sidekick, Boris.
Hi. Now I'm a sidekick. That's so cool.
Our show is available on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com, as well as social media, and just recently discovered it's being listened all over the world. We are broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available in 35 stations among 11 states, and after the show on any podcast player, as well as next Sunday on Sirius XM, channel 131, the Family Talk channel. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God, who enables us to help each other. We provide testimonials to let people know that we're not alone, as well as experts and inspirational speakers that can help. In this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. I do believe we all suffer somehow, but with the help of God, we can be a source of healing for each other. For me, God was the only cure, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life is challenging, but there's always hope when someone cares. At least God does. The song we played earlier was Wishing Well by Juice WRLD. Those of us that have experienced no luck tend to try even though we believe we are likely to fall. We have experienced stress and turn to drugs while it kills us softly, for the devil deceives us using our past and our memories as a weapon. At times, when we didn't know how to feel, it turned into depression and thereafter yielding to addiction. It's progressive. The devil knows exactly what he's doing, making us feel as if we were broken, but God shows us how to fix it. Even at times when we feel defeated and hide it from others, we consider the greater good and redefine our lives for the better when we turn to our Heavenly Father. Today's special guest is Steve Skipper. Steve Skipper is a former gangster and addict that found his calling through his faith in God. Skipper gives all the glory for his gift and every open door to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His life was transformed by the unparalleled hands of Christ into a fine artist with international exposure with no formal training in art. Steve Skipper is the first African-American to complete artwork sanctioned by NASCAR, University of Alabama, PGA, PBR, with unveilings at the MGM Grand in Monte Carlo of Las Vegas and Chelsea Piers of New York City. Steve, welcome to The Cure. You're now live.
Thank you. It's my honor to be here.
Thank you. Steve, could you tell us how your life journey started? As a teen, you were an addict who was quickly moving up the ranks into a notorious street gang. How did you find yourself in that life, and how did you escape?
Well, growing up, you know, as a young boy, growing up in a home that was filled with a lot of dysfunction, I think that dysfunction is something that the enemy uses to lure kids into insecurity, and then at the same time to present other things, such as, you know, gangs and stuff like that to make you think, you know, gangs present themselves in a way to where they actually refer to themselves as family. And when your home is broken from the inside and you long for family, it's very easy for you to be deceived and to fall into a trap of going into a life that's filled with deception and filled with evil. And so I grew up in a home that was filled with a lot of dysfunction, and it fell directly into that trap at, I think, about age 13.
So you're basically, the gang was the family that you were hoping for, the family that you felt cared because you felt misplaced or displaced. And so, and I can understand that, having been from a dysfunctional family myself. We try to sometimes to look for love in the wrong places. Could you tell me what happened next? How? Go ahead.
I think that at age 13, you know, looking back on it, I'm 61 years old right now, and I look back on it with a very clear lens and see exactly, you know, what was happening, and very, very deceived, going into, like I said, a situation where it's presented as a family, where there's people who actually present themselves to really care for you, and then the deception goes very, very deep to the point that where they care for you to the point that where they're willing to die for you. And I'm talking about literally. I'm not talking about, and when I say gang members, I'm not talking about just people hanging around on the street. I'm talking about a serious gang.
Wow.
People that are, where I'm in Alabama, we were controlled by drug kingpins out of California. The organization, the gang that I was in, is a very, very sophisticated gang. And there's a lot of stuff that I saw at an early age that I never could have saw, stuff that I was participating in and stuff like that, that was very, very, very bad. And so I think that in my book, we tell the G-rated version.
Wow.
Of what it was like. But at the same time, get into a few things into the movie of what it was really like. But sometimes when God allows me to go out and speak, he allows me to tell the full version. And the last time I did that, about 500 people got saved. So,
wonderful.
It was a very, very terrible lifestyle. I mean, you train to actually, you know, be a little trained killer.
Wow.
You'll do anything for that gang. And so, I mean, I saw the ultimate, you know, it's almost going back in my mind and talking about it and stuff like that. It's almost like,
I mean, for some of us that have never been in gangs, I didn't know there were sophisticated gangs. I suppose you mean well organized, almost like the mafia.
Well, it's very much at that level.
Wow.
When I'm talking about 18 coming to a gang, you're talking about people that are already involved in the gang, but you're not only in their 20s or their 30s, there's some people in there in their 60s. And then there are people that used to be in the military who teach you how to fight. And they teach you how to fight hand to hand. And so when I grew up, at from 13 to 15, I was collecting money for drug dealers. And so, I mean, I would go out and people that owed the drug dealers money, I would go out and collect it. And I never came back without the money. And it took certain things to get the money. Your 15-year-old kid come in, you're talking to somebody 30 or 40 years old, maybe 50, that owes the drug dealers money. And you tell them I want the money. And they look at you like this cute little kid, but you've been trained as an animal.
Wow.
And so you never come back without the money. And so, I mean, that animalistic, when I joined again.
Well, how were you able to escape? How were you able to escape that lifestyle?
Well, I think that some of my dysfunction, I had some conflict with my mom. And you know, as a young kid, about 9 years old, I saw my mom. My mom, she cheated on my dad. And it filled me with a rage. And it's not only a rage, but I think demonic activity entered into my mind at 9 years old. So by the time I was 13, I was extremely furious at her. And when it came time for me to be dumped into the gang, jump in is a term where you have to fight to get into the gang. You have to fight a few guys. They had about 10 guys that I had to fight to get in the gang. And when I got through fighting these guys, you know, all 10 of them on the ground, blood in my mouth, turned to the leader and asked, "Who wants these things?" And he looked at me and said, "You're in." And so there's a tremendous amount of the qualifications to be in a gang like this. You have to have a tremendous amount of demonic activity. So, and they don't care where it comes from as long as it's in there.
Wow. But you know what?
When it came,
God did not give up on you. God did step into your life. And as I'm saying this, I swear I'm getting goosebumps. Because that is an amazing transformation that I'm hearing about. And
he definitely didn't give up. I mean, I was...
And that's definitely what I want to go into after this break. How did you begin your life as an artist with God and you were able to skip that? We will continue talking to Stiff Skeeper, a former gangster, sharing his story of redemption and success.
Stay with us. Please call us if you'd like to share your story. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, and the courage to keep moving forward with the help of God. I want people to know that there's hope. I was forced into my abortion because I didn't think I had a choice. I want people to know there's choices.
Well, Amy, my heart is breaking. I just want you to know that I love you and I thank God for you.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Every Saturday at 1 Eastern on the Truth Network.
Do you have fear, anxiety? Are you suffering adversity? A successful life leaves clues, meaning everyday people take life setbacks and turn them into fulfilling lives. Join the MindsetSuccessSummit.com for free and learn from over 20 incredible success stories in bite sizes delivered to you daily over 3 weeks to teach you how to take your life to the next level with happiness, joy, and freedom. That is MindsetSuccessSummit.com.
You can make a grown man cry. If you ever said goodbye, never let you go. You can make a grown man cry. If you ever left my side, never let you go. You're the only air in my back pocket. If you ever lived like a psychotic, heaven hear me crying, crying. Maybe you're the key to my unlock it. If you ever live, never unlock it. Lonely like an island, island. In my love, reach your love. It's never come and be nobody's love. Never come and need nobody's love but yours. And yours. In my love, reach your love. It's never come and be nobody's love. Never gonna need nobody's love but yours. And yours.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. The song that just played was Nobody's Love by Maroon 5. One would have to walk on the dark side to know how sad it is to tell God goodbye. Never will someone know how great the pain is that it can make a grown man cry. God is the only one that keeps us from going psychotic, despite the relentless pickpocket. God never leaves our side. He has the key to our heart locket and gives us the ability to unlock it. We are never lonely like an island when our love is His love and our trust is in Him. There's never anything like it. For this lifetime isn't a race when we find our place in God's good embrace. We're talking to Steve Skipper, tongue twister, who is sharing his story of redemption. Steve, when we last spoke, you were telling us about being in a very sophisticated gang that was kind of had evil ways. So my question to you, which I'm curious about, I don't know if it's like the mafia that they don't let you leave, but how were you able to escape that lifestyle? What made you want to escape it? And
that's a very good question. Very good question. It's very important when we see people involved in, you know, evil activity or something like that, not to ever write them off. Because on the inside of that person, they're always longing to get free, but they don't know how. And there's only one way to get free. And so when I was in the game, I got to a point to where we had did so much demonic activity and so much, you know, bad stuff. And I got to a point to where my soul, inside myself, I was very, very tired. And I think that's where Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he didn't say rest for your body, he said rest for your soul. So a lot of times we get extremely exhausted. You know, the way of the transgressor is hard. And so we get exhausted on the inside, but on the outside, we're still playing the role around everybody else that we're doing what we're doing. And so I got to a point where I was very tired, and there was a young man by the name of Mike Mitchell who's in my neighborhood. I was in a park one day with a lot of other guys, about 12 other guys that we had just got to rob some people and stuff like that. So we were in the park smoking some marijuana, and Mike walked up, and he was a lifeguard at the swimming pool in the park where we were. And he yelled out, he said, Steve Skipper, 13 of us down there. And he yelled out my name and said, you need to quit that stuff and you need to be safe. You need to give your life to Christ. And I've never heard anybody say anything to me like that.
Nice.
And so I've been in church, but I never heard it that powerful. And at that time, Mike was probably 17. And so I was 16. And he actually came out of the pool, which was, you know, very no-no. And approached us. And so when he started to approach us, the guys got up, you know, because at that point in time, I was leading. And so they got up, and they were, everybody was armed, was packing, and so that they went to get their weapons and everything, and I stopped them, and I said, let me talk to him. Let me see what he wants. And so I went over to him, and on the inside, I was really wanting what he was saying about Jesus. I was wanting, but I couldn't feel it. And so I went up to him, and I told him, I said, He said, you need to be saved. You need to give your life to Christ. I didn't know what that was. And so he said, why don't you go to church with me? He said, you go to church with me. And just go to church with me, and I'll bring a minister in and let him minister. And I said, man, let me tell you something. I said, I'll make you a deal. I'll go to church with you if you'll leave me alone and don't tell me about Christ. And I said that so the other guys could hear me. And so he said, okay, I'll take that deal. And so he said, meet me at the church at 7 o'clock. And so I made a deal with another guy, another drug dealer, that at 7:15, I want you to meet me outside the church, and I want to buy some drugs from you. And I wanted to start taking speed at that point. And so the guy agreed to meet me because I thought I'm going to go into church, and they start singing and whatever they do in church and stuff like that, and they get excited, I'm going to flip out at 7:15 and I'll meet this guy. And so that was my plan, but God had a serious plan. I had no idea that God had a man of God that was extremely anointed that would minister directly to my heart, and I would end up dropping my colors on the floor, my gang colors on the floor, and walking up to the altar, getting on my knees before Christ and receiving Christ as personal Savior. Well, that guy's just 15, he's still waiting for me outside.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Came into church that night, meant to spend 15 minutes and spent 43 years.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you think that can be used now? Do you think there is churches and pastors now that can change the minds of young kids that are going the wrong way?
Well, I think we have to address it. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we're in church, we're talking about Daniel and Elijah and David and Goliath and stuff like that, and a lot of stuff goes up under the radar. So when it comes to gang activity and stuff like that, I think that a lot of pastors are not aware. They've never been in that life. They don't know what it feels like, and they don't know what's going on. And I think this needs to be preached, and that's one thing I'm excited about the documentary is that we get our chance to actually let people know we know about what's going on, and there's a way out. And so, I mean, even after I got saved that night, you know, I still had to face the game because the credo is the only way you get out is you die.
Yeah.
And so the thing about it is God had radically changed my life. I'm talking about radically that night. And I was just on fire for Jesus. And I think that I received a boldness from him that night. I just fell in love with Christ because of the way he was preached. I've never heard him preach like that. And so the day that I went back to the gang and I told him I wasn't coming back. And so
wow.
You can't underestimate. You can't. There's no way any Christian can underestimate the anointing that's on your life when you get saved. Because when they looked at me, they actually saw the radical change. And at the same time, the anointing, which is the presence of Jesus Christ, was all over me. And it's more powerful than anything that's in the gang and anything that's on the street. You know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That's exactly true. When they saw it, actually kind of scared them. And so I turned around to walk away, and I actually thought I was going to get shot in the back. But at the same time, I was saved, and I knew I was going to heaven.
Nice.
And every step I made, there was no shot.
Wow.
And I walked straight out. I've been walking ever since. Nobody said a word.
That's incredible.
So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation for real. He's a new creation for real. And I'm talking about new enough to the point of where any demonic gang member that's filled with the spirit of Satan actually knows Jesus Christ. And when he's on your life, Satan knows to back off.
Isn't that true? Trust me.
We can't underestimate what we have. I mean, when you become a Christian.
Yes, there's nothing like it. And a lot of us have to experience demonic ways to know the difference, like I did.
Right.
We will return with a cure in a moment. Please stay with us.
We would love to hear from you. Call us 1-866-34-TRUTH. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
On Sunday, you went home alone. There were tears in your eyes. I called your cell phone, my love, but you did not reply. The world is ours if we want it. We can take it if you just take my hand.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. Remember, we're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, on our app, The Cure, or our website, godisthecure.com.
All shows are available also as a video podcast and an audio podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo where podcasts are.
The song that just played was Give Your Heart a Break by Demi Lovato. It's when there are tears in our eyes that we often hear God's calling. Sometimes we hear it and don't reply. If only we knew that by just taking God's hand, the world is at our feet, and there's so much more we understand. We only have one life. It's good to live. And even though we may be scared when it all feels wrong, it's with God that we belong. When it seems there's not much more that we can take, that's when God steps in and gives our heart a break. God is our best option. Make no mistake.
Well, you are indeed a boy.
We're talking to Steve Skipper, who is sharing his powerful story of redemption and success. Steve, so I am so intrigued by your story. It's just amazing. But tell me, how was God able to work in your life and help you discover that you have an amazing gift you didn't even know you had, that you're an amazing artist and painter?
Well, I mean, I had a brother, an older brother named John, and he used to draw a lot. He was like my idol, and I wanted to be like him, so I would draw a little bit like him. The night that I got saved, the minister started talking about how God was so concerned with every aspect of your life and the talents and stuff that he had given you, that he was just so concerned about those talents being developed, and he looked me right in my eyes as I was on the corner, started talking about stuff, and I started to remember that I do have this gift, and he made one statement that really just went through me like fire. He said, every time you use the gift or the talent that God is giving you, it glorifies him.
Nice.
So if he makes that statement with the fact that I had fallen in love with him, so every time I would use this talent, it would honor and glorify him. It was just like pouring gasoline on a fire. And so I started using my talent, and I experienced something special. I received prophecy not too long after that God would, he would begin to work through me. God being not only Savior, God not only being deliverer, and God not only being healer, but God being creator. And creator is not just he made the heavens and earth, he created the heavens and earth. He's an artist. You know, he paints sunsets every day, totally different paintings. Nobody can actually come close to him. And so I received that, and I experienced the fact that he would put his hand on top of my hand and started moving my hand across a piece of paper or canvas and whisper in my ear, telling me how to do this and how to mix this and how to do different mediums in art, which is, you know, pencil, watercolor, or whatever.
Yes, because you had no formal art training, and it's not like you had the best support in the world either. I think your mother once told you that a person of color cannot be a painter, and that did not deter you. I love it.
I mean, I had an uncle that wanted to be an artist, and African Americans weren't allowed to even think like that. I mean, when you get in school, and the teacher asked you what you want to be when you grow up. You dare not say artist, that wasn't meant for an African American. You dare, say something about labor or something hard, something that doesn't require any kind of mental push or anything like that. So she used to always tell me, get a job, get a real job, And I remember graduating from high school. I was saved. I used to witness to everybody in high school, and the janitors and everybody. I was on fire for Christ. And I got a scholarship offer. I got two football scholarship offers, and I got three fine arts scholarship offers. And I remember talking to my counselor. He was very excited that I'll be the first person in my family to go to college and everything. And very excited. And I remember God whispering in my ear, just telling me, you don't need to take any of these scholarships. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about art.
Wow.
And when I told him, he looked at me, you're crazy. You know, how are you going to explain to your mom and your dad, you know? And so I went home and told them, and they thought I lost my mind. Until, you know, one day, probably years later, after a whole lot of suffering and everything, and I made my first $10,000 check, and I showed it to my mom, and she said, you have a real job.
Nice. That is nice. And you made it so well, Steve, that, I mean, it's such a powerful story of redemption. Did you ever think there would be a documentary made of your life called Colors of Character?
No, I had no idea. I was happy just being saved, you know, but, you know, the Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think. I mean, I never asked something like that. I mean, I met a friend of mine. We went to lunch, and I gave him my testimony. And he said that, you know, you need to meet this other friend of mine. You know, he's a writer. You need to write a book. And I didn't know anything about writing books or anything. So we met with the other guy, and he, you know, fell in love with the story. Next thing you know, we write the book. And then at the same time, another guy sees the book, and he says, this needs to be a movie.
Wow.
And I said, what? And I thought, being kind. And so we started working for it 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, this is documented. It's not the people. God started bringing people into our lives to support us and make sure that, you know. And then the marketing team came in, and it's just mind-blowing.
That's just it, because God opens up so many doors. Not only does he let us know of gifts we didn't know we had, but he opens up so many possibilities and so many doors. If you only believe in him and you give him the chance, he can show you the world.
Yes.
One
thing that comes down, you realize it's not so much a story about me. It's really about Jesus. And all of the people, we all agree that he put this together in such an intricate way. All of us are sitting in this room wondering how we got here. And step by step, experience by experience, testimony by testimony, God just put all of this stuff together. And the next thing you know, we're sitting here, there's a documentary, and I'm on Amy's show. And I mean, how did he do this?
Because God is so good.
I mean, I'm still wondering. I stood up in the bed at night, wondering, how did you do this? You know, and you know that I'm satisfied with you without all of this. But now you give me a platform to tell the world about you and what you did in my life. And it's really about him and what he's going to do in the people's lives who will see the documentary. That's what it's about.
Nice. And Steve, because I'm an artist, but I can't paint. I've never taken any formal painting classes.
Oh, you painted a portrait of you.
Yeah, my teacher liked it, but I wasn't. I don't know about that. Do you find painting a form of worship or therapy?
To tell you the truth, when you know, God is such a serious artist. If you think about the Picassos of the world and the Rembrandts and all of them, God is probably a trillion times that, you know, and so, but he's limitless. And so when it comes to his relentlessness, Picasso could never be more relentless than God.
Oh, just think of the sunrises and the sunsets. Sometimes I look at the beauty of this world and I said, how is it ever possible someone so perfect that made us, you know, so complicated, but yet... everything works.
you never can appreciate a sunset or a sunrise until you try to. And even though you see paintings that look beautiful, they're still a million miles away from what God really is. You're forever chasing his greatness, so you never catch him.
Well, you
and
can.
So when it comes to him,
you can only notice. Can only notice the sunrise and the sunset when you're looking up. Because trust me, when I didn't have God, I don't remember looking up.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
And I never realized how beautiful the sky was and all there was to it. We'll be right back with Steve Skipper about his wonderful story of redemption from gangs to God. We would love to hear from you. Please call us, 866-34-TRUTH.
Do you have a story of redemption? 1-866-34-TRUTH. Tell us about it.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Now I found the strength to make a change. And look at the magic I found. No matter the name or where you came from, there's no one as much figured out. The house that you live in don't make it a home. But feeling lonely don't mean you're alone. I finally found where I feel I belong. And I know you'll be there with wide open arms. Through the lows and the highs, I will stay by your side. Goodbyes, now I'm seeing the light. When the sky turns so gray and there's nothing to say, at the end of the day, I choose you.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for staying with us. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, our app The Cure, on social media. Look for God as a Cure.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Just search for The Cure wherever podcasts are.
The song that just played was I Choose by Alicia Cara. It's funny how little we know in the scheme of it all. The bigger picture came with a great fall. The magic created and the strength newly found were the greatest results. What we have experienced or our circumstances never defined who we are. Once we found where we belonged, we know God is there through the highs and the lows with wide open arms. God has never left our sight, and with him, there's no need for goodbyes. When the sky turns gray, we can see the light, and when the going gets rough, the harder we fight. At the end of the day, we all choose you. The God who loves us regardless and stayed anyway. More reasons to pray.
Well, you're rhyming again. You see.
We're talking to Steve Skipper about his story of redemption from gangs to God to prolific artist.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I see, Steve, that you are also a football player. Is that why you have a lot of sports, football team paintings?
Yes, I played football in high school and got a few scholarship offers, but I thank God derailed that when he told me that he wanted me to be an artist. So,
oh.
at the same time, it's a whole lot easier painting football players than getting torn up on the field. So,
yes.
I'm enjoying this side of it.
So that was your compromise. You loved football. You didn't want to give it up, so you found a way to do both. Is that how you got the idea about painting football players and sports and Martin Luther King and all those wonderful people?
Well, I think when I first started out, you know, I was doing portraits of athletes and stuff like that, and then it kind of snowballed. I started in a high school doing portraits of high school football and baseball players, and then went to a frame shop to frame one of them, and there's a guy there that was a PR guy for a local football team. It was a semi-pro football team, and so I started working with them, and then when they folded their team, the PR guy introduced me to the PR people in Atlanta for the Atlanta Falcons. And so I started working with the Atlanta Falcons, and then I started doing some stuff with the Atlanta Hawks. And the next thing you know, one of the football players from Alabama came and said, his name was Mike Shula. His dad was Don Shula, a great coach of Miami Dolphins. And he said, why don't you come to Alabama and do this? And so I said, I never thought about it. I don't know anybody there. He said, I'll introduce you to the coach. So he introduced me to the coach. And next thing you know, it just snowballed. Next thing you know, it's a business.
Wow.
Nice. Congratulations.
And, you know, then one day I'm sitting in the studio, and we got collectors and stuff all over the country and stuff like that. And I'm sitting in the studio, and the University of Alabama just won the national championship. And people calling me saying, when are you going to do the painting and all that? And all of a sudden, God said, we're not going to go that way this year. We're going to turn and go this way. And it's like, you know, the scripture says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. A path is not a highway or a street. It's a path. And so we're going this way. And he said, this way, we're going to do civil rights artwork.
And I bet you that path was more difficult.
Oh, my God. I mean, the market for civil rights artwork was actually dead. I mean, and here these people calling me on the phone and making money, taking care of my family. He said, we're going this way. And I've learned over the years that when he says do something, do it. And so through the civil rights movement and the civil rights artwork, you know, I was commissioned by the Bahamian government, the government of Bahamas. Well, I never knew that Dr. King went to the Bahamas to write his Nobel Peace Prize speech. His acceptance speech, and there's a place that called in the mangroves over there where he went. And so the governmental people invited me to come over to go to that place and to do a painting of it. And nice. So everything just exploded from that point. And the next thing you know, I'm meeting Andrew Young, I'm meeting Congressman John Lewis, I'm meeting Vivian Joseph Lowry, and all these people that were with Dr. King. And next thing you know, President Johnson's daughter asked me to, if I would allow her to talk to the people at her dad's presidential library about the Selma commemorative painting, one of the reproductions going into the presidential library. And I was like blown away.
Wow.
And so everything actually exploded, and it exploded to the point to where there's a friend of Ambassador Andrew Young that owns a museum in Atlanta. He's best friends with Prince Charles, and so he the painting that I did of Dr. King in the Bahamas, the Bahamian people used to be owned as slaves by Great Britain. And so this guy took the image of the painting over and showed it to Prince Charles, and he was actually floored.
Nice.
And he said that he wants me to come over to present him with one of the prints on behalf of the people of Bahamas in memory of Dr. King. And so when COVID broke out, I mean, it you know, kind of derailed me going over there, and I'm kind of glad because I was so nervous I didn't know what to do.
Wow, but, Steve, in the last two minutes that we have, I wanted to ask you, you've experienced a lot in life, more than most of us have. What are the greatest lessons that you've learned over the years?
Oh, that's a great question.
I hope 2 minutes is enough.
And maybe what Long can enough. Teenagers and youngsters grasp from it so they know that they can do it too?
A take-home message for them, those who hear the calling but maybe don't pay attention.
Never give up on the gift that God gives you, even though you may have buried it under your career or your job. There's always room to take the shovel and dig it up. And there's always time and always opportunity for God to use you in a great way, no matter how far-fetched it sounds or seems. You know, I'm a true example. If he can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. And he's no respected person. And it's never too late to get that spiritual shovel and dig up that gift that you buried.
And guys, don't be afraid to talk about it, hear about it, or show it off. Talk about God all you can, all you want. I did with my friends, even when I was high. I was always a God fan. But, you know, my kids don't want to hear it. So,
well, guys, we're working on it.
Guys, please, he loves you. He's there for you. And he won't give up on you. Don't worry. He's always around.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But we only, this is the end of the show, guys. It's been an amazing show. Thank you, God. And thank you, Steve. Thank you for being on The Cure.
Thank you, sir.
It's been so helpful to hear your story of faith. And more information on Steve Skipper can be found on steveskipperstudio.com.
And we're going to wait for this amazing movie, documentary, Colors of Character, right? Upcoming.
So let's see if I can squeeze in this prayer. Heavenly Lord and gracious God, I want to thank you with all my heart for the glorious plan that you proposed before the creation of the earth, that you would redeem sinful man by sending the eternal Son of God to become the perfect Son of Man, who is willing to live a sinless life, and to die a perfect death, so that all who believe in his name would not be condemned, but have eternal life, and be made a part of God's eternal family as his heavenly people. Thank you for the multitudes of men and women that have received this amazing gift of grace. Thank you that you have redeemed me along with all who were lost in sin and heading for eternal hell and everlasting separation from you, but who believed the message of salvation and trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, the more I contemplate your great grace, your unconditional love, your perfect righteousness, and your long-suffering faithfulness, I'm overwhelmed by what you have done for me. But I thank and praise you that I have joined the mighty cloud of witnesses, that I have been born of the Spirit in the church age as part of Christ's body, and look forward to the day when we will all be together in your presence forever and ever. Amen.
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 Thank you again, Skipper, and may God bless you a million times, never ending.
Yeah. All the best.
And thank you to our audio
Of course.
And thank you to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today, playing my songs and making the sound very good. Thanks to Robbie Dillmore for
the
pursuit, and Christian Carguy for his continuing guidance and his love and care for others. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure.
Please check our podcast, The Cure with Amy Cabo, our app, The Cure, our website, GodIsTheCure.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, that would be great, and rate us so we know how we're doing. And also, you're not going to miss an episode that way. And also, if you'd like to send us a request of a show topic
or prayer
or song to play, just go to GodIsTheCure.com, contact us page.
And if I pick the song, you get a gift card.
Yeah, $25.
I have to be able to fit it into the show and explain it, but it'll work, I'm sure. Thank you to our listeners for being with us. And until next week, keep safe, keep the faith, don't lose hope. God is ever present and always for. We are not strangers to tough times, where God has seen us through many trials before. Until next Saturday at 1 p.m. again, much love and God bless and Godspeed. Peace and love to everyone. Amen.
Stay safe with this pandemic thing, but everything is going away, so don't lose the faith. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcast of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.
We shortened the prayer.